listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. This text has been used in all sorts of ways. It's been used by some to argue that we shouldn't have to pay any taxes. Can you see why? Pay no allegiance to Caesar is what Jesus is trying to say, some might say. It's been used by others to argue that we should certainly pay taxes, that this offers us a model of civility in living harmoniously in both the worldly realm and the religious realm. That's kind of how Martin Luther used this passage in his time, where people wanted to rebel violently against the powers that were. Unfortunately, though, Jesus doesn't answer the Pharisees' question about money directly. I believe mostly because the Pharisees weren't asking it as a stewardship question on their pledge Sunday during stewardship month in October. They had very different intentions. You see, they wanted to trap Jesus, and they knew they could trap him with either answer that he gave. So I'm not sure how directly helpful this text is for stewardship Sunday. It's the assigned text for today. I'm not sure how directly helpful it is. I think there's some indirect help here, definitely. But Jesus isn't giving us any clear-cut answers. Other places in the Bible he does. He says very plainly, just two chapters before this, go, sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. Jesus said a lot about money all through the Gospels. There's also that passage in Acts where those who don't give a percentage of their income are accused of stealing from God, which is a continuation of an old overarching theme from the Hebrew scriptures, from the Old Testament. It's a good thing we don't read those today, right? this text today is not so blunt. Rather, it leads us to understanding and insights about offering money in more indirect and, I think, grace-filled ways. It's an excellent text for the day. In this text, there's not a straight answer for us on how much to give. Rather, we're offered two things I'd like to propose. Two things. First is an idea about our intentions. And secondly, we are led once again to a beautiful conclusion, that beautiful conclusion that all our, quote-unquote, our money and stuff is actually God's. Everything is God's. So first of all, this intentions idea, I think the gospel story today raises for us the question of intentions when we talk about money. The Pharisees had intentions when they asked Jesus about money. As you consider what to write or what not to write on your pledge cards for 2021, and by the way, I'm talking to you who are members of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. If you're not a member of Bethlehem Lutheran Church, go to your local altar, wherever that is, your local place of worship, and think about these same things, these questions of intentions. What are the intentions behind the questions you have as you write down a number or whatever numbers on your pledge card? What are the intentions behind the questions that you might have as you do that? Why am I being asked to make a financial pledge to this church again? What might be the intentions behind such a question? In other words, what gives birth to your questions about financial stewardship in the church? Sometimes just our tone of voice can be a giveaway for our intentions. Sometimes. Are our questions born out of mistrust, anger, fear, or a way to trap? Another way of saying that is a way to control, like the Pharisees. Or, on the other hand, are our questions around money and what to offer born of something else? Born of love and joy and peace and trust in the abundance of God's love and grace. How might God use me? How can I make a pledge that is an expression of my true thankfulness to God for all that God has given me in this life, in this world, in this place, in this church? This question of what to pledge is really a chance to reflect on yourself, to look in the mirror at yourself, to look at your own life, and to consider God's blessings, God's presence in many and various ways. Maybe that sounds obvious, but pledging, once again this year, is not about looking at the church and determining whether a larger or smaller sum is appropriate, quote, for the church for this year. It's about looking at yourself and considering God's grace and abundance in your own life. I hope you've been able to sit with your pledge card. It's on our website. It's on our Facebook. I hope you've been able to sit with your pledge card, set some time aside, say a prayer of thanksgiving, and then write down your pledge. If we need more specific direction in that, I like to stick with that biblical model of tithing, 10%. Of your income, or at least working up to that each year. It gives us direction, I think, like a compass. Pledging at your central place of worship, at your local altar, whether that's here or somewhere else, during the stewardship season, is ultimately a gift for you, not your gift to the church. It is an opportunity for each of us to make a statement about how much we trust in God. When we lift that offering plate up each Sunday, we receive the offering, and then there's this moment where the acolyte stands in front of the altar and sort of symbolically lifts the plate up and holds it above her or his head for just a few moments. When we do that, it's a statement about how much we trust God. I think every time I see that plate being lifted up, and God, this is how much we trust in you. Are your intentions and your questions around money and giving born out of distrust and fear, anger, or the need to trap or control, or are they born out of joy, peace, trust, thanksgiving? Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle, wanting to have your questions born out of love and joy and peace, but feeling stuck, frankly, in fear and distrust, worry about the future, distrust of institutions and people, maybe even distrust of God, and sort of angry about it all. Siblings in Christ, God is with us in our bitterness and our resentment, in our mistrust and in our anger. God is with us, nudging us, holding us, comforting us and challenging us as the Holy Spirit guides us into new realms of joy and thanksgiving. You know, I used to say I hated talking about this stuff. I hated stewardship time, I used to say. As a pastor, having to talk about money and giving, how hard that is. And then I'd even drag other pastors in with me and make some blanket statement that none of us like to talk about this stuff, but it's time to do it again. Come on, everybody. Over the years, I have to say, I've experienced a sort of evolution, I'd say, in my talking about these things. I have to say, it's a joy now to be able to proclaim and bear witness to the fact that you're being invited to offer up one of this earthly life's greatest treasures, your money. Being able to talk about this is a gift. I feel privileged to be able to talk to you about this. And this day and this text is a gift. This Stewardship Sunday, Jesus talking about give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God, because it all brings us back to that blessed conclusion and the prayer that we say every Sunday, that it's all God's. We joyfully release, God, what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, our money, all signs of your gracious love, God. Receive them. Receive these gifts. Friends in Christ, it all belongs to God. All that we have comes from God and belongs to God. And what we offer with joyful and thankful hearts is just a faithful token of that fact. It was all God's in the first place. It will always be God's. How will we steward it? And how will we show God our thanks? Giving in this way is all wrapped up in thanksgiving. I think I want to finish with that. I just want to share a personal story. I've had to learn that giving in this way is all wrapped up in thanksgiving. I've shared this before. Heather and I are tithers to whatever church we belong to. We've always practiced this. We were taught this at an early age, how to simply move the decimal place over to figure out what 10% is. So it's always been something that we've practiced, but when we had a capital campaign at the last church I served for a building project, we were really worried. I'll just speak for myself. I was really worried about how we could give above and beyond the tithe that we were already giving. I mean, we were stretched there, so a capital literally means above and beyond. I was sweating it. I wanted to be a model for the congregation as a pastor, but I didn't feel like we had the kinds of funds that we needed to impress everyone with a leading gift. And we had this capital campaign consultant from the program we were part of, and his name's Phil Wrights. He came down from Seattle. We were in San Diego at that time. He came down from Seattle, and I was sharing this concern with him. And he listened to me patiently and kindly. And at the end of my kind of ranting about, I don't know how I could do more. We're at our limit. I don't know what we can do. He just said, Dan, you're missing the Thanksgiving part of this. Whatever you put down on that pledge card, he said, make sure you do that with Thanksgiving. Whatever that number is, do it with thanksgiving. You're missing that. Say a prayer of thanksgiving. And so on our pledge card, you notice I've written, the first thing you should do is say a prayer of thanks. And the last thing, after you write a number down, say a prayer of thanks. That comes from a personal story. I had to learn that. Stewardship is taught. Faith is taught. Living in thanksgiving is taught. It's not natural at some level. It's learned. And Christ is our ultimate teacher here, calling us back, blessing us richly, loving us unconditionally, still with us now, right here with us in the midst of this election year, in the midst of all the violence in the world and in our own country, in the midst of all the sickness and the sorrow and the loss, and the fear, and the chaos, and the confusion. Friends, Christ is right here. May that peace of Christ's presence and love and forgiveness, may that peace that passes all human understanding keep you, friends, hold you. May that peace keep your heart and your mind in faith and hope and gratitude, and even joy, this day and always, in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.